I'm Rick Moore, and this is Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, and by the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. We welcome back now Massachusetts State Senate Minority Leader Bruce Tarr. And Senator Tarr, how are you?
I'm doing well, Rick. Thanks. How are you?
Very well, very well. We are into late spring now, and you know, of course, everybody is looking towards celebrations and parades and barbecues and getting out on the water and so on. And before we get started, I guess on hard topics, what's the overall view from your perch at the State House in terms of the restaurants and things like that in the city and maybe in your district? Because you know, the weather's been better. The COVID situation is what it is. So what's the overall view from where you see?
Well, I'm hearing about a lot of robust activity, and particularly in the restaurant sector. We've had some very high months in terms of meals tax collection. So it seems to me that folks are getting out and about. They're moving around. They're doing things they haven't been able to do for a while. So it seems like there's a lot of activity, Rick, and a lot of economic activity. We still, in state government, are collecting revenue at a pace that we never expected. In the month of April, we collected about $2 billion more than the number that our budget was based on, our benchmark. So there's a lot of things happening, but at the same time, you have a couple of other things that are going in the other direction. So you have the impact of inflation, which is causing folks maybe to trim back a little bit now, the cost of gasoline, which is having a chilling effect, but it doesn't seem to be stopping folks from driving. So you've got some things that are very positive in terms of the economic activity, but you also have some things that are having a chilling effect. And overall, there's some growing concern about where the economy may be headed in the next few months. Hopefully those concerns won't come to fruition, but it's something that we still have to think about.
Wow. Yeah. How does that all relate to the state budget, where it is now and where it's headed?
Well, right now, the state budget is one that we consider in the context of having a lot of resources. As I just mentioned, we are on pace right now, if nothing changes, to end the year, the current fiscal year that we're in, with about a $4 billion state surplus, which is just a phenomenal amount of money. So right now, we have a lot of resources, and it's in that context that we'll be debating the state budget for the next fiscal year, which begins on July 1st, starting next week. And this is the busiest time of the year in the legislature, Rick, because the state budget is, in many ways, an all-encompassing document. It documents and dictates every amount of money that we're going to spend for the year, but it also deals with other items of policy and other matters. So it's really an enormous legislative undertaking to consider and debate and pass the state budget.
What is on your agenda with respect to the state budget now and next?
Well, so I would point out that right now the budget that we're going to consider next week spends about $49.68 billion. And, Rick, that's a $2.07 billion increase from the current fiscal year's budget, the one that we're in right now. And there are some very positive things in this budget. And by the way, that rate of growth is about 2.7%. But one of the things that's happening in this budget already without us having debated it is that as it's been released from the Ways and Means Committee, it's increasing the amount of unrestricted general government aid, which we, in layman's terms, we call local aid. And that number is going up substantially. It's going to go up by about 5%. Or $63 million. The other thing that's interesting about the budget is all of the educational funding. And so minimum per pupil educational aid in this budget goes from $30 to $60. It doubles. And we still fully fund the Student Opportunity Act, which is very important. And that means we're going to be spending about $6 billion on K through 12 education. And that's an increase of about $495 million. So with all of those things, they're very, very positive. Another one I would mention is the circuit breaker account, which pays or helps to pay for special education. And in this case, there's enough money in the budget as presented by the Ways and Means Committee to be able to fully fund a 75% reimbursement rate for the costs that are eligible. And that includes the cost of transportation for special education students. So there's a lot of positives happening. One thing that isn't happening in this budget, and something that I'm going to try to change, is some relief for taxpayers. We are seeing record rates of revenue collection. Yesterday, there was another upgrade from the Secretary of Administration and Finance as to what he expects we're going to collect in the coming fiscal year. And so with all of these dollars, it would seem to me that we ought to be able to find some room to give some taxpayer relief. And there are a number of different avenues by which we could do that. I've offered roughly 20 amendments to do that in different ways. And so that's something that I will be looking to do. And I'll also, Rick, and I have many, many amendments, but 105 to be exact. But another thing I'll be looking to do is allow municipalities at local option to be able to continue outdoor dining that's been so popular for our restaurants. I'd like to make that a permanent part of the landscape. I've also got amendments filed to look at climate change and study that further on Cape Ann and fund our Cape Ann Works program, the one that we just started, which is putting together local employers with students that need jobs. So there's a lot of things to be discussed in the budget and a lot of positive coming out of the gate.
You know, for a minute there, Senator, you sounded like Carl Sagan talking about billions and billions. So it's way out of my understanding, man. I don't know what a billion is. But I wonder, Senator, you mentioned a couple of things that might impact Cape Ann and your district. Can you tell me maybe a little bit more about how the budget that is now, without the amendments, let's say, how will that what impact will that have on your district? Because you're looking at the entire state as well as your district, and I wonder if you could just bring it down, you know, sort of into this area.
Well, absolutely. So the increases in unrestricted general government aid will have a significant impact on all of the Cape Ann communities. I don't have the sheet in front of me, but it will be a significant impact to all of them. And with regard to education, our schools will see significant increases in their amount of aid, and that is something that will have a very serious local impact, a very positive local impact.
I love the word positive, man. That sounds good. Anything else you want to mention about the budget before we switch gears here?
Well, I would just point out, Rick, that there have been 1,178 amendments filed, and we'll be taking those up starting next Tuesday, and it will probably take us the better part of the week to be able to work through them and process them and debate them. But I'm very positive, to use the word again, about this budget and about where we're headed. We've got a significant amount of resources. We are going to put a very sizable contribution into the stabilization fund so that we're not going to spend all of the money. We're going to put some away for the future. And so I think that at the end of the day, this budget will be a very, very good document. But we still have a lot of work to do. And again, my feeling is that the budget is incomplete until we find a way to help taxpayers in one way or another, whether that be suspending the gas tax, whether that be increasing the threshold for the estate tax, whether it be increasing the renter's deduction or the senior circuit breaker for property tax, which impacts our seniors. There are a lot of ways that we can do it, but we need to do it, and we need to have a part of this budget be about giving back and sharing all of the resources that I've mentioned, because we do have significant amounts of state revenue.
All the things you mentioned, they just line up with Senator Bruce Tarr from Gloucester, that's for sure, positive and giving back. Senator, I guess the final thing I'd like to ask you about is here on Cape Ann, the train service for the last 3-4 years or whatever, they've been working on the bridge in Gloucester, has been kind of strange. So what's the status now with what's going on in Gloucester and the commuter rail from Boston?
Well, we've definitely had to deal with a lot of adversity, Rick, whether that be having train service interrupted and having folks need to be bused either from the downtown station in Gloucester to West Gloucester Station or be bused even further than that. We've obviously had noise issues that we've had to deal with because the trains were dwelling in places that they wouldn't normally be during the construction. But the good news is that the project, at least as far as the first track running across the train bridge, is complete. And train service will resume. We expect it to actually resume next Monday for the first time in a couple of years, so that we'll have not only important service, commuter rail service, for folks that need to get to their job every day or make travel for regular things that are in their lives, but this will also open up Cape Ann for tourism. And folks coming by train during the summer tourist season are very important. And so hopefully we're going to start on Monday, and we're going to have train service that will continue well past that, and hopefully indefinitely and on a permanent basis. Now, there is a second track that needs to be completed that goes over the train bridge that carries the train over the Annisquam River, but they're going to continue to work on that while the train is operating on the track that's going to be serviceable. So good news that a lot of the adverse impacts that we've had to deal with should be over. We'll get train service for commuters, train service for tourists, and a quieter neighborhood for folks in West Gloucester.
Sounds good to me. Senator, I want to just mention a couple of your staff, and I want to extend my appreciation for the help. Mike Daugherty in particular has been terrific in helping set up these interviews for me. And also Ted Costa, a very familiar name in Cape Ann, for both for his name and his father's name, the legacy of Ted Costa. Ted has been wonderful, so thank you and thank them for all the help they've done.
You know what? I'd be happy to do that. They are two great members of our team, and they're very valuable assets and resources for people all across our district. So I'm happy to hear you say that, Rick, because the number one thing that we strive for is constituent service, and we want to be responsive and we want to be effective. So I'm really glad to hear that, and I'll be happy to pass along those thanks.
Massachusetts State Senate Minority Leader Bruce Tarr. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore. This has been Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore. Brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire. By the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. Connect with Connections by emailing msonewsports@gmail.com.